as we gather this morning, may our focus be on the King of Kings, even Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Promises were ultimately to be displayed in a kingdom founded on love. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generation. The darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. The Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to gather here on this fourth Sunday of Advent, this Sunday designated in the Advent season as the Sunday of love. And we are anticipating the birth of the Christ child, and we look forward to gathering here in just two nights on Christmas Eve for a wonderful service of celebration, a service of amazement, a service of a family. As we gather around the communion table on Christmas Eve, I want to invite you and your families, your neighbors, to a time of worship at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Please come out to a time of worship as we culminate this season of Advent for our Christmas Eve communion service. So please come out on December 24th for a service of celebration, a service of carols, a service of communion, a service of candlelight. Also want to remind you that we have a chance of spreading the season of love, a season of carols, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Something that we have done every year for many years here at First Baptist Elon is visiting the shut-ins, those that don't have an opportunity to come on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis to worship here at First Baptist Elon. We like to go and spread the Christmas cheer. So this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to meet upstairs in the fellowship hall and go visit some of our shut-ins and sing some Christmas carols. This is something that we enjoy doing, and this is something that I always say that if you can make a joyful noise to the Lord, you can come. As you can see, on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis, I do not sit in the choir. That is for a wonderful reason, because I can't carry a tune, but I can make a joyful noise. And many of the youth are shaking their heads. They know this. I can't sing a lick, but I can make a joyful noise. And so so our shut-ins enjoy an opportunity of us coming and singing carols to them. So I want you to come join us at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and let's go visit some of our shut-ins and sing some Christmas carols to them. This is a wonderful opportunity. Usually takes about an hour or so to go visit our shut-ins, but this afternoon at 4 o'clock, come join us in the fellowship hall and go visit some of our shut-ins and sing some Christmas carols this afternoon. Some other things I want to remind you about as you leave worship today. There are Christmas cards still in our communication center. Stop by our communication center, see if you've got Christmas cards that are still out there. Also, contribution envelopes for the 2020 calendar year. They're right on the bench outside as you immediately leave worship today. Also, many of you donated to have poinsettias put in our worship service. As you can see, they've been decorating our sanctuary. If you contributed to purchasing a poinsettia, you're welcome to pick those up today as you leave worship today. Take those and allow those to decorate your home this Christmas season. You're welcome to take one of those as you leave today. Janice has been working diligently this past week. It's been a very busy office, and she got the January calendar ready for this upcoming year. So you're welcome to pick one of those calendars up in the vestibule as you leave. They also were emailed out this week, so you should have received those by email as well. Also, immediately following worship today, and I reminded you this past week, we are going to have a special round called business meeting as we vote on our budget for the 2020 calendar year. So immediately following worship, if you will hang around just for a few minutes, that will be voted on right after worship today. Now, at this time, I want to recognize Paula Harrison, who has something that she would like to announce.
Good morning. I need somebody to help me stand up here. Norman and David and Gay, come up here. Each year we plan and give our staff a special Christmas gift from the entire church, and we present that usually the last Sunday before the holiday. So today I would like to thank Gay and David and Norman for all the work that they do for us. Janice has an envelope just like this one inside waiting for her to come tomorrow. But you all gave generously and with love, and thank you for supporting your staff in this special way. So, Ms. Collins, thank you.
Well, before Christmas.
Yeah. Before Christmas. Okay.
Well, on behalf of the staff, I just want to thank you. It is an honor and privilege to serve this congregation.
Amen.
And it is a wonderful family, and we look forward to serving you not just this Christmas season, but in the new year as well. So thank you. Thank you. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to worship. Father, it is the season of love. And as we gather this season of Advent and this season of worship, we are reminded of the greatest gift of love that was ever given, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ, to enter this world that was in need, to shape and shift this world. We give you thanks. And that is what has challenged us to gather in this place today, to be shaped and shifted by this love, and to go out and to shape and shift this world with that gift of love. That is why we have gathered here in this place today. Move us. Challenge us. Father, we can feel that gift of love this day. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who is the gift of love, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 85, The First Noel. Please stand. may be seated.
I'm back. I'm here to remind you of our special service on January the 5th, which is the first Sunday of January. And at that, on that day, we're going to have special speakers for our Sunday morning service, Carson and Laura Fushi, who are missionaries to Japan from the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and they are supported by our church. For those of you who are maybe new to us, Carson was a student at Elon University, and while he was there, he was very active with our church and did lots of things. And when he decided to go to seminary, he called us from the Mideast. He was on a mission trip, and he called us and did it live here in their service on the Sunday morning. And when he was time for him to be ordained, he asked that our church be the church that ordained him. So we've been involved with Carson for a long time. He married Laura while he was in seminary, and they are both missionaries serving the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship in Japan. They are home right now on a furlough, and they're going to spend that Sunday, January 5th, with us. They'll be here for the morning service, and they will do the sermon for the morning service. They will also be here for the evening service, and we're going to have supper for them before the service, and we would like everybody to come for that and have a time to fellowship with them. And then they're going to spend their time mainly on Sunday night talking about their new adventure in Japan when they return in March. Their first mission tour there, they were in two churches. They served two churches. The past 3 years, they've been in school in Japan learning the Japanese language. It's a very hard language to learn. And so they made a long-term commitment to stay in Japan, so CBF sent them to school to learn the language there. And so they are now ready to go back. They also have someone they want us to meet. Their daughter was born, and she was 10 months old yesterday. Little Ava will be with them, and they are excited to introduce us to her that night also. So invite your friends, invite your family, invite people from other churches. We would really like for a lot of people in this area to get to know this, since we consider them hometown missionaries who are out in Japan. We are taking up a love offering for them. If you would like to contribute to that, you can do that between now and the 5th. We'll present it to them on the 5th. And for those of you who don't know them well, this is a little book that's out on the table in the foyer, and they are featured in the book for April 16th through the 22nd. This is a missionary calendar, so they are featured in there. They also have special cards that you can take and put on your refrigerator or in your Bible when you're doing your daily prayers to pray for them. And they would appreciate all of your prayers. So if you have any questions about this, see me. But we look forward to seeing Carson and Laura and Ava on January the 5th. Thank you.
Our offertory hymn this morning is none other than We Three Kings. For the last time, I may say, this year. And we're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5. So we're singing about myrrh this morning. Let's stand, let's sing and worship. I've had enough of it.
Christmas is a time of the year when a lot of our thoughts are on gifts. We're celebrating the gift of Jesus Christ to the world. And all the gifts we know was that we value the most was at the cross. But there, as I look at the names that in the Bible, I'm intrigued by one that we hear very often in January. I mean, in December and January, but we do not hear often through the word. And I would like to just share with you here from, because it's in Isaiah, long before the New Testament, when Jesus is living on earth. And it's in Isaiah where he shares this with King Ahaz of Judah, when who's being forced by other kings to have countries battling. And Isaiah comes to Ahaz and says, look, the battle that is scheduled in front of you is okay. You will not lose that battle. And Ahaz says, they're twice as big as I am. And has a shed of doubt. And Isaiah says, ask for a sign. Tell me what would be a sign to you. And Isaiah says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel's not a name that we deal with except in this time of year. Emmanuel means God with us. And as I think about us, we celebrate the birth, but we want to remember that he's Emmanuel, and he's with us every day. And sometimes I am probably like most of us. Today's problems make me think of the problem, but God's with us. And everything doesn't work, come out roses. In fact, God gives us some problems that make us know we need him. In Emmanuel, he's with us. And I just want you to think as we go to prayer that we concentrate at this time making Emmanuel part of our life. Now let us pray together as we think of our offering. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the news that Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins. But he also, when he left the heavens, said, I'll be with you always. He was Emmanuel. We just want to praise you as we come back and give our offerings and just ask you to bless them. Help us to use them wisely to further your kingdom. For we pray in Emmanuel's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
may be seated.
Judy and I are blessed to live in a wonderful little community. And of course, you know that we've had anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6 different people from our little community visiting with us, gosh, a long time. And we appreciate that. And I'm still waiting on the rest of you to bring your people to come so we can fill up in this sanctuary. But one of the little ladies in our community gave out some Christmas cards, and she had an insert in there, and it was really meaningful to me, and we're going to make that part of our prayer this morning. I wanted to give her credit for this. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of worship as we come to celebrate the gift of Emmanuel in our lives. And we are reminded that you are indeed with us each day, each moment, and we're grateful. And so, O God, we pray that the Christmas gifts would remind each of us of your greatest gift, your Son, your only begotten Son. And we pray that the Christmas candles would remind us of him who is the light of the world. And we pray that the Christmas trees would remind us of another tree upon which he died for the sins of the world, even ours. And we pray that the Christmas cheer we experience would remind us of him who said, "Be of good cheer." And we pray that the Christmas bells would remind us of the glorious proclamation of his birth. May the Christmas carols we sing remind us of the song the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest." And Father, we pray that the Christmas season would remind each of us in every way of Jesus Christ, our King. In his name we pray. Amen. And you'll never guess where our scripture comes from this morning. Matthew chapter 2 again. I encourage you to read all of that, by the way. I'm only taking a snippet, so read all of Matthew 2 and get the rest of the story. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word this hour. On my mission trips to Haiti and to Brazil and Ukraine, I ate some things that, I still don't have a clue what they were, but I ate them anyway. Because they tell you, you eat whatever is presented to you so you don't offend the people that are giving you and sharing with you. Let's just say I had some unusual tastes while I was there. And I know that's not a very good way to begin a sermon, but on the long list of rare tastes is one of the gifts that the Magi gave to Jesus. It was myrrh. There were many ancient uses for myrrh. although it was best known for its taste. Myrrh didn't taste very good. The Hebrew word for myrrh means bitter, which is one of the many reasons why it made for such a strange gift to give toddler Jesus. And you know the story by now. The Magi, following a star, came from Persia to Jerusalem, and it was a journey of more than 1,000 miles, and it took the better part of 2 years for them to get there. The Magi were being drawn to the newborn king of the Jews. And when they got to Jerusalem, they were stuck and they didn't know where to go. And so they stopped and asked King Herod. And Herod brought in all the Bible scholars there in the palace, and the scholars directed them 6 miles down the road to a little town called Bethlehem. Matthew relates that on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. The phrase "and myrrh" might give the impression that it was the least of the three gifts, sort of like an afterthought, the gold and incense and myrrh. But that was certainly not the case. Myrrh was exceptionally valuable. On the first century Roman market, myrrh sold for 5 times the price of frankincense, and it was more valuable than gold. Ounce for ounce and pound for pound, a person was much richer with a box of myrrh than with a box of gold nuggets. If the myrrh measures were equal, Jesus' most valuable gift was myrrh. I have to admit, if myrrh was not mentioned in the Magi gift list, I doubt if I'd ever really known what it was. In its raw form, myrrh is brownish red in color, and when it's dry, it's in the form of resin. Myrrh is actually sap. Myrrh is sap from the tree Camphora myrrha that grows in Somalia and parts of Ethiopia. Myrrh is still used today. You use it every day. Myrrh is found in perfumes. Myrrh is found in lotions. Myrrh is found in toothpaste and other cosmetic products that you may use. Me, I don't use any, but it's also a component in traditional Chinese medicine, where it's said to have healing and anesthetic properties. Some of the uses in the ancient world were similar, and yet some were very different. If you go back and read in Exodus chapter 30, you have the story where God instructs Moses to mix several spices, including myrrh, to make a sacred anointing oil. And Moses then takes that anointing oil and anoints Aaron and his sons and consecrates them as priests to God. This sacred anointing oil was also used to consecrate various parts of the temple and the priests and the kings and even weapons of war. Anointing represented dedication to God and the blessing of God's favor. The Old Testament book, Song of Solomon, is clearly the most sensuous and sexual book of the Bible. Myrrh is mentioned 7 times as a perfume that makes a lover smell good. He says this, who is this coming up from the desert like a column of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and incense made from all the spices of the merchant? The religious women of Jerusalem concocted a drink mixing wine and myrrh as a narcotic, and they offered this drink to men who were being crucified to kind of dull the pain they were going through. Mark 15 says, they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. You see, Jesus refused this cocktail of wine and myrrh so that his mind would be clear throughout the ordeal on the cross. And so we see that myrrh was used in sacred anointing oil, it was used in perfumes, and it was used as a narcotic. But the most important use of myrrh was as an ointment used in embalming. The Egyptians used myrrh in their mummies, and they did their mummies. The Romans would burn myrrh along with the corpses. You see, they didn't bury them, they burned people. And so they would burn myrrh at the same time to make it smell better. The Jews only did external embalming. They wrapped the body in long strips of cloth, and then they would take the myrrh ointment and stick it in the folds of the cloth to make the body smell better. For most ancient societies, there was a clear and lasting connection between myrrh and death. And so, from most of the ancient symbolism, it's a strange gift to give a nearly 2-year-old boy named Jesus. Perhaps it was associated with the anointing of a king because the Magi called him the King of the Jews. It was probably not considered a lover's perfume or a narcotic drink for a child. And I doubt anyone would give embalming materials to a 2-year-old. And then again, maybe, just maybe, the least likely significance of myrrh for the Christ child was the most fitting of all. I read a story about a woman who was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping at a crowded suburban mall. You ever been there and done that? She was tired, and she was frustrated with the press of the crowds around her as she tried to find the trendy gifts that were sold out because she waited too long. But then with her arms loaded down with bags of goodies, she stood waiting for the elevator to come. And when the doors opened to the elevator, she discovered that it was already full of people. But she eased her way in to the elevator anyway, and it made all the people close up together. You ever been in a stuffed elevator? It's not very comfortable, is it? And when the doors closed, she grumbled out loud, whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot. And people giggled, and they said yes. And then from the back of the elevator, a man yelled out with a loud voice, don't worry, lady, they already crucified him. Never think that Jesus' death on the cross was a tragic an unexpected turn of events. He came to earth to die. He was born to die. The Son of God left heaven for earth, was conceived in the Virgin Mary, and was born in Bethlehem in order to die on a cross for human sin. Three gifts of Christmas: gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gold was fit for a king. The frankincense was fit for a priest, and the myrrh was fit for a savior. The gold pointed to the throne, and the incense pointed to the altar, and the myrrh pointed to the grave. It is sobering and significant that Jesus was a child destined by God and motivated by his own choice to step up and die so the rest of us can live now and forever. The bitter taste of myrrh was a prophecy of the bitter death of the cross. The smell of myrrh was prediction of the garden tomb where his body was laid. And while I do not believe that the Magi could have understood, their gift of myrrh was a gift fit for the Savior who died for the sins of the world, for our sins, for your sins and mine. We don't know the measure of gold and incense and myrrh that was given to Jesus. We're not told in Scripture. But even if it was only in small amounts, it would have been a lot of money. My guess is that the Magi, who traveled for 2 years to find the King of the Jews, were generous people, and they gave lots to Jesus, and it was worth a fortune. And if it was the fortune that I think it was, then it came to a family who was extremely poor, poorer than most. You know that under Jewish law, it was required to sacrifice a lamb when a boy baby was first brought to the temple. However, a sacrificial lamb was beyond the budget of most poor families in Israel. And so there was a special provision made in the law for the poorest people to substitute, people like Joseph and Mary. Luke's gospel tells us that when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And they also came to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. It appears that Mary and Joseph went from poverty to prosperity in a single day. They went from pigeon poor to gold, incense, and myrrh rich. And what did they do with their new wealth? What did they do with their new wealth? They became refugees in Africa. Illegal aliens in a foreign land. That's what they did with their wealth. On coming to the house, They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And so he got up, and he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Jerusalem and surrounding area who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Jesus became human for us. Jesus became a refugee and an alien for us. And Jesus died on a cross for us. Matthew tells us that after King Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream once more and instructed him to return with his family to Israel. But when Joseph learned that Archelaus was ruling in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And so God warned Joseph in another dream to go and live in a town called Nazareth. You know, our local funeral home folks can help you prearrange your funeral. It'd be interesting to know how many people in here have had their funeral prearranged and prepaid. Judy and I actually did it a few years ago. My guess is that most have not done this. Probably because, you know, as human beings, we plan to live a lot longer, and we're a little creeped out about thinking about our own death, our own funeral, and our own burial. My guess would be that those who prearrange their funerals tend to be older and not younger folks. And I doubt seriously that anyone has ever prearranged a funeral for a healthy 2-year-old child. But that is exactly what God did for his son. God the Father planned for the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his beloved Jesus from the very day he was born. He even arranged for the money and the embalming. And why did he do it? It's simple. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's why God did it. The Magi gave 3 gifts to Jesus: gold, fit for a king; incense, fit for a priest; and myrrh, fit for a savior. What gifts are you giving Jesus on his birthday this year? May I suggest and encourage that you give him yourself. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of life itself and the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus. And as we celebrate his birth, may we be reminded through the gifts of the Magi that Jesus is the King of Kings, that he is the High Priest, the only mediator between ourselves and God, and that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And Lord, if there's one in here this day who desires to accept that gift of love into their life, that they believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God who came to forgive sin, who gave his life on a cross, and that they come and confess him as Lord and Savior today, may today be the day of salvation. In the name of Emmanuel, we pray. Amen. Come for the gift of salvation. Come in rededication of your life as a Christian to living for your King, your priest, and your Savior. And if you're without a church home and you'd like to come and join this fine family of believers, I encourage you to do it. It's a good place to be. Let's sing.
May be seated.
Father, we thank you for the great privilege we have of worshiping the newborn King who turned out to be the risen Savior, the one who forgives our sins. May we celebrate his birth and live out our resurrection faith all season long. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Before we enter into our